Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Okay, Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. I believe it will help us as a church if we read the whole thing together. It will bring you a good context for what I'm going to communicate with you today. All right, when it's on the screen or when you have it ready, you know the drill. Read. He entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I pay them back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the sons of man came seek and save." I could not come up with a decent title for this message, but if you want an overall overarching context for the message, I'll tell you a refrain I think you'll see throughout the whole. Jesus is interested in outsiders, and he's trying to help outsiders become insiders. And when they are fully insiders, there'll be a fellowship not just on earth, but for eternity. Jesus is trying to make outsiders insiders. And if Jesus is trying to help outsiders become insiders, what is the work he was trying to teach his disciples to do before he left the planet? What is the work, when we read the scriptures, he wants us to do? He wants us to constantly be helping outsiders be inside. Now, you know what's difficult about this is that I believe that once you're an insider, you can forget pretty quickly what it's like to be an outsider. I have forgotten that I was not the guy who was picked first in athletics. I was the guy where somebody said, "Oh man, we got James Lowe this time." You know, and I was awkward. I was the person who never did it quite right. The person you get on your spelling bee team and then you'll lose. You know, being an outsider is not fun. And when you're an outsider, the greatest thing that someone can do who's already in is to invite you in and be a concierge of sorts to show you what it's like to be functional with inside the house. You also forget when you're an insider that an outsider is looking for a way in. It's easy to look at outsiders and say, that's just how they are. That's just what they do. That's just how they want to be. And to put them in a category that not only leaves them on the outside, there is no thought as an insider that I would even think to help them move from out to in. This text in Luke 19 goes straight to the heart of this. You're going to see some of the behavior patterns of Jesus when it comes to outsiders. Now, if you read chapter 18, when you go home, you're going to read chapter 18. Chapter 18, you see that Jesus is consistently dealing with outsiders that his current religious community would have never dealt with. For example, he dealt with a blind man. Because when you were infirmed back in the day, you were just, that's who you were, you were outcast. People assumed that somebody in your family sinned and this is the judgment against you. So that's your lot in life. You deal with it. You're on the outside. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to be made unclean. Jesus is using tax collectors as an object lesson to say they're good in them. He said there was a Pharisee who went to pray and a tax collector went to pray. The Pharisee prayed in a way that beat his, that said, you know, I fast 2 times a week. I do everything right. I'm glad I'm not like a tax collector. And the tax collector wouldn't even look up to heaven. He would just say, Lord, have mercy on me. He is giving object lessons where an enemy of the state is being the person who is focused on children. This is the same chapter where people are saying, keep them kids out of here. Get those kids out of here. And Jesus said, no, I know that this society doesn't have value on children. They're outsiders. They're outcast. But I'm including them. And this is the context. The first verse said, Jesus was passing through Jericho. You know, it's something about when you're passing through, you have an objective. You've got a plan. You've got somewhere you need to be. If you're passing through, then wherever you're passing through Jericho, it's not your destination. It's not the place you want to stop. The point, well, why is it important for the scriptures to communicate he was passing through and where was he going and what was his mind on? The scripture tells you again in Luke 18, we're in chapter 19, but it tells you in 18 where he was going. He was heading to Bethany. He was heading to Jerusalem. The Bible has just said he told his disciples in a few days, I'm going to be captured. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be laying down my life. I'm going to die. I'm going to be resurrected. Don't worry. And this is why I'm going there. You can know that even though Jesus was a mission-minded person, if you know that you're toward the end of your life and it ends with you being martyred in a week or so or 2 weeks, can you imagine when you're passing through, you're taking this moment to at least run the tape? Like, man, so is it going to come out? They going to come for me out the bushes? Are they going to come right away? When they come, you know, I need to, I don't know what would be on your mind, but something would be on your mind other than outsiders. If it was me, I would be bracing myself, practicing how I was going to go through the torture. Jesus is teaching us a lesson. He was passing through Jericho with no intention on stopping. How many times have you and I lived our life with no intention on stopping for anyone? The agenda in my life is about me. It's about where I'm going. It's about what I'm doing. It's about my priorities. It's about what God has going on in my life, but Jesus is teaching us a point. We all have something going on, but having time for outsiders is something we all should do. Look at verse 2. What happens next? Verse 2. And a man there named Zacchaeus. It's funny that the text would, it shows you Jesus, an insider, and the next thing it's doing is showing you a clear outsider. But it's showing you who he is, Zacchaeus, and the next part of the verse tells you what he does. He's a chief tax collector and was wealthy. One is who he is, what he does, and what he has. Jesus is an insider with something to do. Seemingly no time for an outsider. Zacchaeus is an outsider, but the scripture is wanting you to know he's a real person. He doesn't use like he's like this guy, or it's not parable name. He said Zacchaeus. It's something about him knowing a name. It's personal. He is a person. See, when outsiders stop being what they do and you start seeing them for just who they are, you can react different. Y'all want you to see it in the scripture. See, he's Zacchaeus. He does tax collecting. And he is wealthy. But he's a person. What has happened in society to where we no longer look at each other as people, but we look at each other as categories? Democrat, Republican, CNN watcher, Fox News watcher, liberal, conservative. These things become the narrative, and somehow it covers up the person. Jesus is showing you that his beginning point with an outsider is very personal. He bypasses the external and he sees exactly who they are. An insider has insight. They have spiritual gifting to notice things. Now, I can imagine if, let's not be over religious here, he was a tax collector or a publican. You got to understand who he was in the community. It wasn't just like some random guy that, you know, maybe didn't cut his lawn and you want him to get fined by the association for the evil he has done. No, you can tell that I've been the person that they have called to get fined. I was under construction. I just didn't cut it right away. Anyway, whole nother story. Zacchaeus, now see, that's why you don't tell little jokes. I just lost. Okay, taxes. He wasn't an average, everyday guy. Let me tell you how tax collectors, this is Roman society at the time. These guys set it what you would, like a modern day toll booth. And when you came up, they didn't just get the tax that the government wanted. They just start adding stuff. Like asking you questions. Like, did you get a pet recently? New tax for having a pet. They just start naming stuff, and it's called tax farming. They would just do everything they could to get every dollar. So just do this. Like, have you ever gone through a toll, like maybe in Florida, and it was a dollar to get onto the toll and roll, and then a year later, you went back to that same toll, and it was $2.25, and you thinking to yourself, did they improve the road? Like, why is it more money? It's just because they can. Do you like those people? No, you're mad. As you accidentally go through the thing without the easy pass, and they get the picture of your license plate and send you that ticket. You say, this is a ripoff. Driving on the road. How can they own the road? I'm paying taxes already. Nobody, have you ever been on the phone with an IRS agent? You already adversarial with them. Because they come up, what you want? I want some stuff. I want some questions answered. Y'all all pay y'all tax. Y'all never had to call the IRS. I'm sorry if your day might come. But it's not a pleasant experience. This is not people who were like, and they were wicked. They were evil. They were considered like lower than sinners. It's messed up. So Zacchaeus is a person. His name means pure one. But his activity, his job, wasn't synonymous with pure. How many times do we discount people who work in the secular marketplace doing things that we don't think are consistent with the Christian faith, but we discredit them as a person worthy of the gospel message? How many times? How many times? Verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. See, outsiders want to see an insider. Put that up. Outsider, put that up on that screen. Outsiders want to see an insider. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And here's what I want you to understand. When people looked at Jesus, why did they want to know who he was? Because if you read all of the book of Luke, he was becoming famous for eating with sinners and tax collectors. He was always out for the underdog. When people look at you, James Lowe, do they see you as an insider who can be approached through the behavior and the story that goes on about your name? Or is there ambiguity around you, James Lowe? Is there a certain disposition that says, I'm too tired to deal with you, I'm passing through? There was something that preceded Jesus. His character, his life preceded him that made an outsider interested in this insider. What kind of life are we living? And so what he did, because he was short and he wanted to see Jesus, he did something that I would think was an act of humility. He climbed a tree. Can you imagine being a businessman in his suit and, you know, somebody famous coming by and you seen a businessman climb up in a tree? You know the first thing's gonna come to your mind? He a little off. I don't wanna talk to him. Now, why he up there? You just begin to make a caricature of him and assume about his life. I would assume about his life. Don't just think about this as a little Bible story like that's random. You would think it strange if somebody climbed up in a tree with their suit on and they dignified. He had things in his way. The Bible says he could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Isn't that funny? That sometimes the need for insiders, people who have more information, to just get their needs met, crowd out the outsiders that just want to see how they can become insiders. I don't want my kids in kids' ministry with sinner people. If you reach too many sinners, I have to leave. I don't want that association. I mean, it just happened. Well, you know, when do we start reaching people who look like them? Don't want too many from other nations to come in. You know, just enough where we have a sprinkling. We're sprinkling a few nations here or there. Not too many, where it just shifts the culture. You know, see, a crowd sometimes can get in the way of the view of the outsider seeing Jesus. See, even though in the church, Jesus should be preeminent and nothing should be blocking his view, it's funny, people block his view. Because sometimes people can't see Jesus simply because of me. I hate that fact. It's a fact, though. Sometimes people cannot get a clear view of Jesus because of me. But there was something about Jesus that was worth pressing through the crowd, embarrassing himself, humbling himself, climbing up in a tree, and overcoming his own outsiders. If you're here and you think you're an outsider, I love that he was so humble that he pressed through what everybody else thought. See, outsiders sometimes will sit in the back corner, they'll just be quiet. They're doing whatever they can to get close and avoid you. Isn't it funny? See, put my first point back up there again. Outsiders seek an insider. This is the point Jesus is trying to get all of us to understand. It's not as hard as you think. See, but the Bible says God has put eternity in every man's heart. No man can come to God except he first be drawn. There's something that he's already done that's independent of you that makes people want him. I know that the world has told you they don't want him. That's a lie. Yeah. The world wants relief from peace, and there's only one prince of peace, and it's Jesus. The world wants love, and there's only, the Bible says, and God, love is God, and God is love. Don't you understand that he's made all roads lead to him? They want to get in. And if they want to get in, how are you and I to look at outsiders? Don't look at them as people who, I don't say nothing to them. They don't want the gospel. I don't want to recognize them. But what did Jesus do? I think it's verse 4 or 5. Let's see. Five. I know it's five. Mm-hmm. And Jesus reached the spot and looked up and said to him. Jesus reached the spot and looked up. Jesus reached where he was trying to pass through the crowd to get to his destination with all the things that was on his mind and all the busyness he had and the disciples he had to train, and he got to the spot where he could have looked down. He could have got busy around, but he could see in the distance that there was a tree and there was a man in the tree, and that was a strange sight. And instead of turning away, he looked up. What is God trying to get you and I to look up at? What are we looking down? James Lowe does not look around on airplanes. I'm riding an airplane today. I have an intention with headphones and sleepy eyes to help everybody know in my role that I'm not available for conversation. That's my intention. I'm not available for conversation. Do not disturb. Say hi, and I'm going to say hi. That's it. But outsiders, when they sense you're a man or woman of God, they're looking. The outsiders are looking to see an insider. They want an up-close opportunity, but I'm not available all the time. I'm going somewhere. I got to get to the conference today. I got to get to my hotel and unpack and unwind and start ministering and do. I've got a plan today, but there's outsiders along my trail I got to look up. Church, Bethel World Outreach Church, God has sent me here this morning to simply tell us, look up. The fields are already white for harvest. I've already done the work in the heart of man. I'm just telling you to go out there and reap it. This is not I hope, in worldly terms, get lucky and catch somebody. This is every time you throw your net out there, you don't care. He looks up. You see, insiders see outsiders. Put that in there. I want you to see. Insiders see an outsider. A pure insider sees an outsider. And notice, they see him. Now, I'm gonna prove to you that he sees him. Go back to verse 5. We're going to like this. He gets to the spot and he look up and he said to him, Zacchaeus. Wait a minute. Did they meet each other somewhere? See, insiders know. They see an outsider. He didn't say, hey, tax collector, because we know you're wearing those clothes. Hey, sinner man. Hey, lost boy. Hey, lustful one. Hey, homosexual. Hey, see, there's titles we like to throw out there and place upon people who have different struggles in life that label them and exclude them from ever getting on the inside. It's not that they don't have things they need to change, but they can't change until they get in. I don't want my kid going to school with that. Well, guess what? You're going to school with something. And somebody had to go to school with you. Insiders, they see an outsider. He knows my name. He knows my name. He told Nathaniel, he never met Nathaniel, and when he called him, he said, what's going on? He said, I saw you under a tree. He says, you know what the book of Revelation says? That God will give us a name inscribed on a rock that only you know and he knows. This is a personal God who takes your name serious, who takes your life serious, who makes it personal. He's got things going on in his own life, but he doesn't change his assignment. Remember, the 10th verse says he came to seek and save those who were lost, because his ultimate goal is a gospel goal. His ultimate goal is to see people come from darkness to light. And his, no matter what other individual thing comes up, other individual assignment, the overall arching assignment never changes. How about it, church? No matter what individual assignment God has given you in your place of life, the overall assignment never changes, to seek and save that which is lost. Zacchaeus, I love the fact. So you might be saying, well, I'm not discerning like the Lord. I wouldn't know his name. Well, you know what? Just be willing to know people. Like, you would probably do something if you're not a Jesus level, like me. I'm not a Jesus level. You probably say something like, hey, anybody know who that crazy guy up in the tree is? That's Zacchaeus. Hey, Zach, come on down. He said, come down immediately. Another scripture said, hurry up and come down here. Get down here now. Jesus steps into our lives as outsiders with authority on day one. Get down there from that tree. Because he knows something. Zacchaeus is up in the tree because he's an outsider looking for an insider. See, Jesus knows he's looking. Jesus knows he has the opportunity and the authority to just say, get on down from that tree, man. We know as grown people that if anybody, even somebody with the authority, speaks to you too direct as an American, you got a problem with that. Hey, you don't need to go over there. Hold on. Where's the sign saying that? Don't push me around. I'm an American. You know it's true. The new cell phone law came out. You're trying to figure out how to disobey that right now. We can't, don't hold it, don't touch it. Well, I'm going to speak to them. They don't want you to be distracted. That's what they're trying to say. You see, he speaks with authority. Why do we feel authority less when we meet outsiders who are rich, who are educated, who are prominent, or who are extremely wayward? Why are we feeling inferior? That outsider is looking for you. I'm going to give you, take my word for this, but it is anecdotal. I have been around enough presidential, senators, artists, athletes. I've been around the top of the world. And you know, one of the things in every private conversation, you name them, I've met a lot of them because of my wife, because she a whining. They didn't want to meet Jane Lowe. That's when I'm Jane Whining today. Hey, Mr. Whining, hi, how you doing? I don't even change it. No, it's Mr. Lowe. It's Debbie Whining's Lowe. No, it's James Whining, that's good. It gets me in places. And one of the things I recognize is they want insiders to be insiders. They're not asking you to sympathize with their outside living. Like you gotta praise a sinful movie they just did. You don't need to do that. You need to speak with authority. Get down out that tree. And the next thing he said, I'm coming to stay at your house. Jesus is, you know, in urban vernacular, Jesus is a bad man. Jesus, you just don't invite yourself to somebody's house. Just pick somebody. What's this name, the greatest? Michael Jordan. You see Mike with a cigar. Hey, Mike, get that cigar out your mouth. I'm coming to your house to eat. Oh, man. You have to understand just the sheer just ridiculousness of this, to just invite yourself. But Jesus knows that outsiders are trying to see insiders, and that he as an insider needs to see the outsider. And he does, and then what happens? So he came down at once. See, I love this. The Bible says he came down at once. If he did not come down immediately, he would have missed his opportunity because Jesus was on his way somewhere. This is not like be an inside stalker. Like, come down. I told you to come down. You ain't coming down yet. It's been an hour. You need to come down out there. You know, I'm not asking you to stalk human beings. Just do the basic little work. Like, just engage them. Hey, buddy, wanna come down? He came down. He came down. You can't get to Jesus if you're an outsider, if you just don't wanna come. The scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Man needs to open to me. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them whiter than snow. There's something about communion he wants with people who are lost. If the only people you invite over to your home, James Lowe, are other saints only. If sinners can never find a place and you never find a place in their house. We was taught in old school evangelism, you walk into a neighborhood, people you didn't know, and you'd ask to share the scriptures with them. And let's say their house might not be clean, but they let you in, and then they offered you something to drink and eat out that dirty sink. You just saw that. They didn't pull it out this cabinet. They rinsed that off out the sink. Fill that water up. You know that cup was in full use moments earlier. He welcomed them gladly. He didn't go away and say, hold on, my wife need to tidy up. He didn't say, I got to get my life together. He didn't say, man, I don't have the stuff right in my own life. I don't want to be seeing him. He going to judge me. What was it about the insider of Jesus that from the moment that he invited him in, this guy didn't feel like he was going to get condemned. He felt, man, I'm about to get loved. This is deep. You don't just want to see Jesus just doing some. Jesus is personifying love. He is taking authority in a man's life and saying, man, I'm doing this because I love. Yet he's not using these words, but he said, look, I know how everybody out here, you know, has it. Look at the next verse. This is how all the people thought about it. 7. All the people saw it and they began to mutter. Really? He going to be the guy? There you go again. It's funny that the same crowd that was in his way from seeing Jesus didn't want Jesus to fellowship with him. It could be, church, please hear me on this. Don't dismiss what the Spirit of the Lord might be challenging in you. Are you accidentally even a person who's obstructing the view to Jesus because of your predetermined ideas, because of your bias, because of your own sin? Are you and I obstructing the view of Jesus? Let it simmer, not because you should feel condemned, but you have to allow conviction to come on that. They start complaining about the very reason Jesus came was to make outsiders insiders. Verse 8. I'm gonna show you something, verse 8. I'm gonna show you how outsiders actually become insiders. This is the moment. You're gonna see this transition happen. You're gonna see exactly how easy it is. Outsiders in verse 8 become insiders instantly. And you're gonna see how simple the work Jesus did was. But Zacchaeus, the pure one, not the tax collector, stood up and said to the Lord, he's acknowledging who Jesus is here. This is not him saying, you know, you're a good teacher. And he's saying, I know who you are. I was curious, I was convicted, now I'm captured. I was curious, I got convicted, now I'm captured. He said, look, Lord, he's standing up. They're at the table eating. And Zacchaeus is realizing, Jesus has been calling my name. I'm pure. I'm significant. I'm an outsider sitting with an insider. And he knew that I was seeking after him. He says to him, you know, Lord, now I'll give half the possessions to the poor. If I cheated anybody, I'll give them back. I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus didn't challenge him. What have you done, sinner man? Let's deal with your sins. Let's list them. Come on, 1, 2, 3, 4. I know what they are, buddy. You can't hide from me. I know what you've been watching. I know what you've been doing. See, that's us. We have the need for information. If you're going to be a good minister in life and a good minister at this church, you don't need people's personal information to get them reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not a spiritual investigator. What you been doing? Who you living with? What's going on in your life? If you're just nice, they will tell you because they trust you. Not to judge them, but to help them. He said, I'm giving everybody their stuff back. That's a little vernacular there. Everybody getting their stuff back. Four times. Now look, the same crowd that did not want Jesus, that was in Jesus' way of getting to outsiders, they're the same people who the tax collector's been cheating and getting rich. He said, I'm going to bless all them that was in my way. All of the people who was obstructing my view. All of the people who are talking about you and me right now, we're going to hook all them up. Because he's not just proving it was curiosity to conviction, and he's captured. He's changed. Change means that you live a life in keeping with repentance. Change means that you will give restitution. When you wrong someone, you don't need somebody to say, well, you know you need to give me back more. You need to give me some interest. You just start volunteering. What do you need? What do you want? I wronged you. I will go the extra mile to restore you to the place that I crippled you at. Finally, Jesus said, now Jesus is going to talk. Jesus didn't even preach. His life preached. His activity preached. Jesus said to him, today, Jesus is just the confirmer now. Stand to your feet. Jesus is just the confirmation now. Today, salvation has come to your house. Today, you got saved. Today, you were included. Today, you are fully fixed. Today, you're not just a man trying to be good. I'm going to make you good. I'm going to make you righteous. I'm going to include. He said, today, you're a son of Abraham. I'm not talking about your natural state as a Jewish person. I'm talking about the spiritual blessing that I promised to Abraham to bless him and make his name great. It's the same thing I'm going to do with you. For you, you know what, Zacchaeus? You're the reason I came. They was trying to make me obscure the view to an outsider, but I came for you. What's the lesson for us? That if outsiders seek an insider, if an insider can just see an outsider, then an outsider can become an insider and be a son with a seat at a heavenly table, not just at a table of earth. You know, here's a funny thing, and I'm going to obey Jesus. Today, I'm calling the outsider out. It's funny, I've been doing this a long time. And I know every time I come to church and every time I hit my knees, the Lord tells me about the outsiders in my midst. And it's something that happens when we're in a crowd. We don't want to be identified and distinguished. But it's something that if you can actually receive the invitation to hurry down, and it can make you new. Now, for us who don't need to hurry down for the you know, to come to Jesus for whatever, coming back to him. Or I feel like Zacchaeus had some knowledge of the Lord and his life and probably been around the things of God, didn't mean he was saved. Isn't that funny? You could be around the things of God. It does not mean you're saved. You could be here in church today. Does not mean you're saved. But he knows my name. He knows your name today. He knows my name. He knows your name today.
He knows my name.
He's looking up at you today. And if you're an insider, I want you to pray right now for anybody who's an outsider. And if you need something from Jesus, because he was for the blind, he was for the young, he was for the broken. I don't know what your infirmity is. He was for those who needed salvation. But if you're outside of the blessings of the Lord, if you're outside of what he died to provide for you, then I'm looking up at you. I don't care if it's 1 or 100. I don't care. But he knows you. She's going to sing that song. We're going to worship for a minute. You're going to intercede for life. And if you're the broken, if you feel like an outsider, if you feel like an outcast, if you feel like you're the last one picked, if you feel like you're sinful, or if you feel like I'm just broken or lost or I'm confused or I'm not sure, no one here judges you. And if the crowd does judge you, so what? You end up being a blessing to the crowd. So what? So when she sings, if you fit the description of somebody who just needs Jesus to bring you inside, then come stand with me. I'm standing down here because I want you to stand with me. Just sing, Kristen. Come from all over the room, wherever you're at. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to stand with you.
If you've watched this message and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, I've got good news. You can do it right now. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life for the rest of my life. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need you, my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised from the dead on the third day. And I confess that you are now Lord of my life. If you just prayed that prayer, I have good news for you. You have eternal life. The next step for you is to get in a Bible-believing church. We volunteer to be that church. But if not us, we pray God's blessings on you as you search for God's best for you. Thank you.